What's going on, great people? I tuned in to another episode of Crypto and Chill, and this is episode 39, I believe. If I'm mistaken, then it's all good. We'll fix it. Well, it don't need to be fixed. Either way, it's a new episode. Okay, let's since we're on Crypto and Chill, let's chill and talk about Ripple and XRP and this SEC lawsuit. Now, other things will be talked about, but let's put the attention on Ripple and the SEC in this lawsuit. Now, the progress of this lawsuit, Ripple has released their summary judgment and the SEC has released their summary judgment. Now, in short, Ripple is saying that since there were no contracts involved with any of their XRP sales, then that means that XRP can't be an investment contract. What the SEC is saying is Ripple has an entire scheme, including ODL, and it includes the secondary market as the exit liquidity, and all of that translates into XRP being a security. And they're also saying that there is no kind of way that XRP can be sold without it constituting as a security. Now, let's speak on Ripple's argument first. Now, I'm not a professional and I'm not going to act like one, but the professionals have spoken, right? And who I call the professionals, they're the attorneys that are within the XRP community. Majority of the attorneys believe that XRP's argument is just great. They believe that it's a great argument. Not saying that the judge would necessarily agree with it, but they like Ripple's argument. My personal opinion, because you're probably tuned in to hear my personal opinion and my perspective, and thank you if you care enough to hear my perspective and want to hear what I got to say. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. My perspective is that I think it's a cool argument, but once again, I'm not a professional, but I just don't believe that if it was that simple, we wouldn't be this far in this case. Right, Ripple is saying that there's no contracts that were issued out with any of the XRP sales. Also, brief interruption. If you guys hear like the highway in the background, hear some cars, it's because I'm driving. But I just wanted to get this out and speak on this within this episode because it's on my mind. But my opinion on Ripple's argument is it's cool, and it's a cool argument, and it's a great argument because it dates back like years ago. And what Ripple is saying is you can't even get to the Howey test because there isn't even a contract around XRP that would even make XRP a part of an investment contract. So you can't even get past the investment contract to then put XRP up for the Howey test to weigh in all of the prongs. And some say the prongs, there's three prongs. Some say there are four, but when people are saying there are three, it's nothing but people are combining two of the prongs. That's it. So it's at the end of the day, the Howey test is an investment of money into a common enterprise with the expectation of profits, with what is derived by the efforts of others. It's four prongs. That's it. And you can put it how you want it: an investment of profit, an investment of money into a common enterprise derived on the efforts of others with the expectation of profits. That's the Howey test. So Ripple is saying that they need a contract for XRP to even be considered an investment contract, and they have no contracts. They put out no contract. But how I see it is, like I said, if it was that easy, the judge would have made a decision a long time ago. So I don't think the judge is going to 100% agree with Ripple that you need an investment contract to make something a security. Now, she may come in and look at it like, okay, just because you don't have a contract for your sales doesn't mean that you don't need one based on the type of sales that you all are making, right? I can say, okay, I'm going to sell all this, and we're going to do it like this. I'm going to sell you some Pokemon cards. I'm going to sell you some baseball trading cards, right? I'm going to sell you this, and I'm going to go work to increase the value of these cards. But we're not going to have a contract to get here depending on me to put in efforts to increase the value. Now, if I end up going to court and I tell the judge, like, hey, judge, I sold him these cars, but I didn't put no contract on it. The judge can turn around and look at me and say that, okay, just because you didn't put a contract on it doesn't mean that those sales didn't require a contract. You get what I'm saying? So I think Ripple should have came a lot harder than what they did with their summary judgment. Now, summary judgment motions aren't over now. We still have to look out for the responses to these initial summary judgments next month. I personally can't wait to see how Ripple responds to the SEC, because what the SEC state in their argument is, the SEC is practically breaking down the scheme of the investment contract on how they view Ripple and their sales. And these sales that the SEC points out, the SEC point out specific sales, the sales of over-the-counter sales, the sales by Ripple's subsidiary company, XRP2, to institutional investors, to accredited investors, to partners using ODL. They also make note of how Ripple sells XRP to their partners, but their partners are selling XRP so fast that it's creating a downward selling pressure on the market. Therefore, Ripple has to buy XRP back off of the market in order for the price to not plummet. How I personally feel about that, I don't think it's fair. It's fair the right word. I don't think it's ethical. I mean, it's a lot of words you can use for Ripple's business model. And I understand that a lot of people aren't going to like what I'm saying about Ripple, or they don't like what I put on Twitter about Ripple. But I'm not a Ripple maxi. Like, I'm not a Ripple fanboy. I can see things, I can speak on things that I don't really 100% agree with, and I'm gonna point it out, and I don't care who don't like it, and I don't care if someone unfollows me or someone tweets something at me. One thing I will not tolerate though is disrespect and buffoonery and name calling and all that old extra stuff. You'll just get blocked, because I don't care. I'm not gonna entertain that. I'm not gonna let that come into my energy or my space. Even though it is just Twitter, it's still energy aimed at me. So I will block you with the quickness if you feel like you just disrespect me or say something that, you know, is just disrespectful. Now, if you want to have a conversation about it and try to convince me, because my mind is always open and I'm willing to be convinced, right? But back to the topic, I feel like Ripple's business model isn't the most ethical model it is. And I do feel that it's not healthy and it's not good for XRP holders or the secondary market, right? And a lot of people champion Ripple for these types of sales. I don't know if it's they're blinded by, like, and I'm going to take this from John Deaton. He said just recently, yesterday, on his interview with Thinking Crypto, he said you can't be blinded by your biasness or your passion or you can't be blinded by your biasness, your passion, your conviction, and something else when you're an XRP holder or any type of crypto holder. That is what creates tribalism. Also, that's what keeps you blinded from what's right in your face. Now, a lot of holders, when I tweet stuff about Ripple that's not necessarily in the favor of Ripple, I'm not bashing Ripple or anything. I'm not trying to convince you that Ripple is bad. But I'm pointing out specific things that I feel like isn't in the best interest of XRP holders. I'm an XRP holder. Let's not forget that. And I consider myself a part of the XRP community, right? But once again, I'm not an XRP maxis. But back to the topic, when I put out things that may sound like I'm not in the best interest of Ripple, or I'm not a supporter, or this, that, and the third, no, that's far from the case. I'm a supporter of XRP. I'm a firm believer in XRP. And I like Ripple. I like what Ripple is doing. But to yourself, if you really feel like Ripple is doing things 100% the right way, right? With me saying that, that's not necessarily saying that I feel like XRP is a security, because I don't think it's a security. XRP is a digital asset, especially XRP on the secondary market. It's a digital asset and people can build on top of it. Devs can build projects and companies on top of the XRP ledger, especially when XLS 20 finally gets approved onto the ledger. Right now, it's up for votes. They released a new amendment for it. The first one, they found a bug in it, but I believe they corrected it. And now it's back up for votes. But back to what I was saying about Ripple when I say things. I don't feel I'm going to put it like this. I believe it's a better way to do things than what Ripple is doing. And I'm going to break it down for you, so hopefully you can understand where I'm coming from. Ripple, I'm not going to say Ripple created, because we know Ripple did it. Ripple, the company, did not create XRP. When the XRP ledger was created by Jeb McCaleb, Arthur Brito, and another guy, right? They created the XRP ledger, and 100 billion units of XRP was created with it. Then Chris Larson came along, and he was one of the founders of Ripple. The creators of the XRP ledger gifted 80%, which equals 80 billion XRP, to Ripple. The remainder, 20%, went to the founders of the company, right? Everyone should know this by now. Everyone should know. It started out at OpenCoin, then it moved to, I believe, NuCoin, and then it moved to Ripple, right? It was nothing but simple name changes. Right now, I also believe that it could have been a better distribution method, but whatever, we're not gonna even stay on that point, right? And it's over and done with. But Ripple gets 80 billion tokens. Now, how it then got spread out across exchanges, I don't know. Somebody could educate me on that part, how it got spread out across exchanges. But now, current day, Ripple holds about 50 billion XRP, and there's about 50 billion XRP circulating. The XRP that's circulating already has value, already has a price point. Ripple has 50 billion XRP. As Ripple brings on customers and they get partner with people and make ODL sales, or whatever you want to call it, those ODL sales, and the SEC's statement is, ODL sales are nothing but institutional sales. Those institutional sales, those institutional buyers are able to get XRP over the counter at discounts. And I'm not saying it's a significant discount. I'm not saying it's 50%, 30%. It's just a 2% discount. But regardless, it automatically put those institutional buyers in the profit. So when those institutional buyers, also let me put this out, for some people don't say, oh, but even though they get XRP at a discount, they still have a clause in the contract saying they can't dump it. True, it is true. When these institutional buyers get XRP over the counter at discount, there is a lockup period to where they can't immediately dump it, and they also have to go by the volume of XRP on how they sell it. True. But guess what? They're still in a profit. When they sell, they're still in a profit. Depending on if XRP don't went down 2%, at that point they've broken even. But if XRP is trending up, then they're even more in the profit than what a regular holder on the secondary market is. So, as they're selling the supply of XRP, the circulating supply of XRP is going up, right? So if the supply is going up and more sales are being added to the volume, to the market, the price of XRP is going downwards. There's selling pressure. The same thing what they were saying about Jed McCaleb. People were saying that, oh, Jed McCaleb is selling so much, he's dumping so much XRP on the market, and it's creating selling pressure. Well, guess what? Every Ripple partner will also create that selling pressure, depending on how much XRP they get. Regardless, you can think of them as what Jed McCaleb is doing. Jed McCaleb's XRP wasn't circulating. From my understanding, his holdings were not circulating. But as he was selling, the supply, circulating supply, was increasing, also creating selling pressure. Now, I may be wrong, but that's how I see it. Jed McCaleb is an example of how you can view Ripple's partners. As they get this allocated XRP, they will create selling pressure on the market. That is why I tweeted the other day, I don't see how Ripple's ODL is beneficial for the secondary market of XRP. I don't get why everyone is so excited about Ripple's ODL product, because it's not beneficial to the secondary market. It's not bringing value. But there were some people that were saying that as ODL grows and pick up steam, and it will, I guess, promote others to buy more XRP and hold it, therefore holding it off the exchanges. Now, I don't know how true that is. I need to do a little bit more research to fully understand ODL, because I'm still trying to figure out. A couple people posted a link. I forgot the guy's name, but he kind of broke it down, so I'm gonna have to go back over. But you know, those sales that the SEC stated, it pretty much made it look like the secondary market was everyone's, all of Ripple's partners. Ripple, it made us look like the exit liquidity. So that's why I said I cannot wait to see how Ripple responds to those allegations and respond to those facts, because as far as I see it, they're facts. The SEC, yeah, the SEC is corrupt, they're dirty, but we're at the point in the case where they've spent all this time, you know, with the discovery phase. At this point, they should have nothing but underlying, you know, facts about each other. So we'll see how, you know, they respond to each other next month. And I'm going to dive head first in both arguments, both responses. Now, just recently, Eleanor Terry, she released, and shout out to Eleanor Terry, she's doing a great job. Some people, I guess, ended up getting mad at her and became angry with her because she released Bill Hemmings calendar, and it had a date on there where the SEC actually met with Satoshi Nakamoto. It ended up being a meeting with Tim Draper, and Tim Draper ended up later admitting that he got duped and fooled, and it wasn't the real Satoshi Nakamoto. But at the end of the day, how what's the word I'm looking for? Our government, the SEC, a federal agency, how our government officials got fooled by someone claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto. That says a lot about the SEC. Why are people mad at Eleanor Terry? There's no reason to be mad at Eleanor Terry for bringing this out. But that just, I don't know if it was Bitcoin Maxis or what. I don't know. The guy I responded to up under Eleanor Terry, he, I guess, thought he was doing something by posting Tim Draper's. Somebody just was on the wrong side of the road. Just heard a horn blow. That was me trying to, I guess the guy was dozing off or something. Drivers in and out. But the guy posted on the Eleanor Terry and said that days later, Tim Draper said he got fooled. So I put up on his tweet that, hey, so what? Who cares that Tim Draper got fooled and the SEC got fooled? The Homeland Security had a meeting with who they claim to be Satoshi Nakamoto. So hopefully, Eleanor Terry can get in contact with someone from Homeland Security, and she can get more details surrounding their meeting with Satoshi Nakamoto. The Homeland Security claimed that there were four individuals under the alias of Satoshi Nakamoto. Now, we all know that Coinbase's business, if you look on their filing when they went public with the SEC, their business is pretty much built on top of the hidden identity of Satoshi Nakamoto. So, and if you don't believe me, you can go pull up Coinbase's filing when they went public with the SEC. It's there in black and white. It's not hard to find. But Coinbase's business pretty much sits on top of the hidden identity of Satoshi Nakamoto. Also, it sits on top of the clear regulation of Ethereum and all of its ERC-20 tokens. They're filing that unclear regulation and harmful regulation for Ethereum could ruin their business. Something like that. Don't quote me specifically, but it's something to that nature. So Coinbase built its business on top of the hidden identity of Satoshi Nakamoto and the green light for Ethereum. Bitcoin maxis were getting angry about Eleanor Terry releasing Bill Hemmings' calendar showing that the SEC actually met with Satoshi. Then it's something else going on with that. Bitcoin maxis don't want to know, and they are okay with the hidden identity of Satoshi, or with the SEC, just like ETHgate. It's one of the two, because why wouldn't you want to know who the person is behind what you're so like up in arms about? Like, you have so much faith in Bitcoin, why wouldn't you want to know who the person is that created it and see what type of mind frame they had, what type of person they are? Once you find the identity, you can go and check their history and check to see what they are a part of, what type of group they are, religion, all type of stuff you can find out about a person once you come across their identity. But these people, man, seem like they're just okay with the hidden identity of Satoshi. I don't know what type of company, what type of country we live in, but you can see it. I take that back. I do know what type of country we live in. A bunch of corruption, a bunch of blatant agendas. I don't want to say hidden, but it's a bunch of blatant agendas going on that's not in the best interest of the people of this country. But we're not going to dive into that. We're not going to, you know, play the politics game, but that's really what it is. But to piggyback on the Bill Hemmings topic and his release calendar, now is the perfect time for Congress to call for an investigation. Now is the perfect time for Congress to call for an investigation. It goes to Tom Emmer. That goes to Warren Davidson. That goes for Tom Emmer. I don't want to say his name. That goes for Patrick McHenry. That goes for everyone, really everyone in Congress. This is not even a Republican. This is not a right or left side matter. This is for the country, right? And if there's no investigation called upon, what type of times are we living in where it's blatant corruption going on in your face? It's blatant bribery going on within our government and nobody's calling it out. What type of times are we living in? You know what? If there's no investigation called upon, that only tells me one thing. that it's a lot more people a part of this corruption and bribery than we know. I've always wondered about that, because why is it that every bill, every crypto bill that's presented, is presented with giving Ethereum automatic clarity? They always leave these bills out with giving Bitcoin an asset that you don't know the identity of the creator, and Ethereum, a clear bribe job that went on at the SEC. Our U.S. government is trying to give these two assets the clear green light for regulation, a free regulatory pass for these two assets. When you have real deal legit projects out here that are actually trying to do good work and are actually trying to be legit and follow some rules and begging for rules, but you refuse to give them clarity, but give these two assets clarity, that right there alone says a lot. That says a lot. Country we're living in, what type of world we're living in, but everything, like, it's multiple people in the XRP community that has the timeline, they have the video. John Deaton, the lawyer that's involved with the Ripple case, that's acting on behalf of the XRP holders, he has the timeline. All you got to do is go to his website, Crypto Law, and check out the full timeline and videos and tweets and everything to back up everything, every allegation. At this point, there's no allegation, there's facts. It's facts all drawn out in the timeline. So anybody within the government feel the need to look into it, it's right there at your fingertips. John Deaton even created a platform to where it's a pre-written letter that you can send to your congressman. And every state has had a letter sent out to its congressman. Yet we still haven't had any action take place. They always respond with some automated response, or they say they're just waiting to see how the Ripple case turns out and blah blah blah, and SEC is over securities and blah blah blah. You know, they give you a runaround. So with this latest FOIA reveals that, yeah, Bill Hemmings broke the ethics laws while he was at the SEC multiple times, and it's clear that he had a conflict of interest with Ethereum. He clearly acted on behalf of Ethereum. The guy had multiple meetings with Ethereum, people that had ties to Ethereum, multiple meetings, and then proceeded to give a speech giving Ethereum fake clarity. That caused Ethereum to rise. It caused Ethereum's value to rise significantly. It caused people to flock to Ethereum and build on top of it. It caused Ethereum to just spit out all types of new tokens, crypto. But yet, the rest of the market is in purgatory, like Brad Garlinghouse said. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. It really is. But like I said, we'll see what type of country we live in if none of the people within the government call for an investigation. I mean, at this point, you don't even need an investigation. Like I said, all the facts and stuff is at your fingertips. So you really don't. The XRP has done the XRP community has done all the investigation for them. There's nothing left to investigate. Everything else that comes out is just the icing on top. So, like I said, we will see. Also, another topic I want to speak on is piggyback on a previous topic I just spoke on. People. And then on Ripple, we have a lot of our influencers, and it's nothing against them. You know, you can report on whatever you want to report on and speak on whatever you want to speak on and speculate and all that. You know, nothing's wrong with that. We all have an account for a reason. We all have a voice for a reason. So it's cool to do whatever you want to do with it. But at the same time, the SEC's argument is XRP holders and XRP buyers are dependent of Ripple to bring value to XRP. So think about it. If this is the SEC's argument, why isn't there more spotlight shine, more coverage on other XRPL projects, XRP projects? Sologenic, Expectar, however you say that, Spin the Bits, BitTrue is built on the XRPL, and I'm sure there's others. Why must Ripple be at the forefront of every video when it revolves around XRP? All the SEC has to do is just go on YouTube and type in XRP. Everybody on YouTube is talking about Ripple and CBDCs, Ripple and bank partnerships, Ripple. Right? So the first thing you would think is, oh, everybody's waiting on Ripple to do whatever to bring value to XRP. I feel like more XRPL projects should be getting more shine than Ripple. Because at the end of the day, Ripple is a company. Ripple is going to do the best, you know, Ripple in their business. Whether that includes the XRP community or not, Ripple is going to do the best, whatever is in the best interest for their business and their partners. And right now, what's best for them, for their partners, the Ripple, is just having the liquidity on secondary markets. That's it. I don't know what retail use case Ripple is building out on the XRP ledger. I don't think Ripple is building out any retail use case. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's not Ripple's focus. Brad Garlinghouse has said that he's not going to go out and buy a cup of coffee with XRP. And if I'm not mistaken, Brad Garlinghouse has also said that their target audience is not XRP holders. It's not the XRP community. I mean, my bad. He said that their targeted audience is not retail holders. If Brad didn't say that, somebody else associated with Ripple said that. Their targeted audience is not retail holders. So I'm not understanding why retail holders, XRP holders, are so infatuated with the things Ripple is doing. The things Ripple are doing, the partnership, the CBDCs, none of that is aimed at retail holders or XRP holders. It's for their business. It's for their software. Right? And I don't even think the liquidity hub is aimed at retail holders. Now, like I said, it's nothing wrong with that. I salute Ripple and what they have going on in their business strategy or whatnot. But as a retail holder, I want to engage with the XRP ledger. I want to engage with the ledger just like how Ethereum holders engage with Ethereum. Right? And hopefully that comes true when XLS20 gets upgraded onto the ledger. Hopefully that comes to fruition. Because I actually want to engage with the XRP ledger. I want to get into the NFTs. I want to get into everything you can with the XRP ledger. And I want to see some retail uses. That's why when I say things like that, like some XRP holders may get upset. You know, but it's all fine. This is my opinion. This is how I feel about it. Right? I want to have my XRP, you know, engaged with the XRP ledger. I want to create things on the XRP ledger. Right? I want to dive into the XRP ledger. I just don't want to be an XRP holder waiting on banks to partner up with Ripple or wait on CBDCs to be created on the XRP ledger and all this stuff, right? No. that's not what I'm holding for. Like, I'm on my whole XRP, and sure, all this stuff is fine. Sure, all this stuff may bring value to the ledger, but, you know, what's in it for XRP holders?
Right.
Opinion, right? Some people feel like the CBDCs and all that stuff will bring all the value that we need. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
I hope to be proven wrong, but we will see how it goes. Also,
we're still waiting on Library. The judge still has not ruled on the summary judgments for the Library case. Everything is fully briefed.
We were supposed to get something last week. The judge got it.
If it's not going to trial, really a deadline doesn't mean anything. I fully understand that. I fully get it. I mean, if it's not going to trial, the judge has to make sure that every single word
is accounted for.
I guess the judge, imagine having to
do a report. You're in college, you have to
do a report. Every single sentence in your report will be analyzed. That's how the judge is going about the summary judgment, but it's 10 times more. Than a college report. This will set precedent for the entire space for the rest.
Just like every case is citing
case law way back years ago.
This summary judgment will be cited for the rest of our lives. We have to be extremely careful with every case. He has to get this right. He has to get this right. He just can't throw out anything. And that's the same thing
I'm saying about a Ripple settlement.
You have so many communities
that truly believe that this case is going to settle.
Me personally, I don't think it's going
to settle.
I don't think it's going to settle. The SEC is going to drag this thing out as far as even if the Library a positive ruling in their summary judgment, it's still going to sell because Library
and Ripple has a completely different
business model. So just because Library gets a positive ruling in summary judgment, it doesn't mean Ripple's going to get it. Library is a platform
that's like
similar to isn't utilizing LBC credits to their partners who then have to sell back on top of the secondary market and maintain the liquidity on the secondary market.
And
Library isn't going to have LBC and escrows and frozen, you know, how much is sold onto the market, you know, once it's released. Library isn't going on. Ripple is. So it's a completely different thing. Like Brad Times, and shout out to Digital Perspectives. Shout out to Digital Asset Investors.
Well, shout out to the whole XRP community, man. You guys are great. No matter if we disagree,
whether we agree or disagree, man, you guys are great. Like Brad Times always say, a note. What if XRP is deemed to be a note? Right? That's the type of business they're in. That's the type of business Ripple is in. Right? They're putting out loans. They're trying to be a bridge currency. Right? So, what if XRP is deemed a note? Right.